Well, today we're going deep. We're going to go a little deeper. You ready to go deep today?
Yeah.
It's time we get to know why we're here, what the gospel is, and what it's really all about. Like really, really know in our spirits and understand what Christ has done and what he wants us to communicate to the world. And why Holy Spirit was given to us, really. It's amazing that we have a relationship with Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us on such a personal level. But one of the main reasons he's given us Holy Spirit is to understand Jesus and the work and the gospel of the Trinity, of all three of them together, working together to bring about the salvation of humankind. And for me, that's, I don't know, I just love studying. I love studying what God has done in Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And as I was just meditating this week, it became apparent, as I'm reading through Romans, that there's this huge battle Paul is having. And he's just tired of the law, and he's trying to obey the law and trying to please God in the flesh, trying to do the right thing all the time. And he is communicating what really happened to humanity, what the gospel is. Romans is the book of the gospel. If you want to find out what the gospel is, read Romans. And read it and reread it and understand what he's saying. And he begins and says, we're all sinners, every single one of us. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew keeping the law or you're a Gentile that doesn't know God at all. You are a sinner and you're condemned to die. That's your statement. You're under condemnation. And Paul will say, we are by nature objects of wrath. Our very nature is corrupt. No one does anything good. We can't do any good. You can think you're doing something good, but deep down inside there's a heart problem. And until God comes and solves the heart problem, you're just going to keep doing the things that God doesn't want you to do. Okay, that's basic theology, that we are depraved, we're unable to do what God wants us to do. Every single one of us before Christ is a sinner who disobeys the law of God. And because of that disobedience, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Okay, the penalty for sin, like Jesus said, even committing adultery in your heart, not physically, but in your heart, it's a heart issue, right? That the penalty for that, for desiring to do what God has said not to do, is death. That's the only thing that will take away the sin nature. And so the gospel is very clear that if we did that, we'd all be dead. I mean, we'd never get the chance to experience life because we'd all have to die for our sin. So Jesus comes and he dies in our place. And then he sends Holy Spirit to give us the power to live the sin-free life. Okay, to live in obedience to God's word. And so that's where he is at in chapter 8. After going through chapter 7, he's talking about, I believe he's talking about his old nature, his old man. And he comes to this crescendo in verse 24 of chapter 7, Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? How do I ever get out of this trying to please a holy God in my flesh, because I just can't seem to do the right thing. Every time I want to please God, I don't. I do the wrong thing. Then he says, verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the answer, okay? The answer is Jesus. Well, how does Jesus work in me to produce life and obedience to the Word of God? Then he goes into the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends Holy Spirit. After the cross and his resurrection, Holy Spirit is sent into the believers to give them a new heart. You can't please God with an old heart. Okay? Something has to happen. Only Holy Spirit, who is a creator. He's the creator. He's the one over creation in Genesis chapter 1. He's hovering over the waters and he's waiting for the command of God. Let there be light. And poof, he's in action. And he starts creating the heavenly hosts. Holy Spirit's a creator. He's the agent that God uses to bring about new creation in us. Okay? Our experience with Holy Spirit has to be one where new creation happens. Okay? That's the beginning of the transformed life. It doesn't matter if you go to some service and you experience a few goosebumps and a few frills. If that new creation, that being born again, has not happened yet, it's just a feeling. Something on the inside has to happen. Jeremiah prophesied it in chapter 31. Ezekiel prophesied it in chapter 36. I will put a new heart in you.
Right.
Okay? You can't obey on the outside. There's nothing in you that can obey my law. Okay? You're going to kill as many animals as you can to try to repent and to deal with the sin issue. It'll never happen. It's a heart issue. So he says, he prophesies way in advance in Jeremiah and Ezekiel about the day of Christ and the day of Pentecost when Holy Spirit is sent. And he creates a new heart in the believer. He opens his heart, just like he did with Lydia, opens her heart, and suddenly the rebirth, just like Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Something has to happen to you. It's not you. You can't get yourself saved. It's only Holy Spirit who can do it. You have to have an experience with the Holy Spirit. Okay? For those who've had that experience, hopefully everybody in this room who has been born again by the Spirit of God, who has been awakened and the Holy Spirit has come and made you a new creation in Christ. This is the deal. Four great truths I'm only going to focus on this morning. Number one, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know what condemnation is? Do you know what that word means? Condemnation is the sentence for your sin. Okay? It's not guilt. It's not remorse. It's not feeling sorry. It's the sentence itself. Condemnation is the sentence. He closes Romans chapter 6 and he says, the wages of sin is death. In the day you eat it, you shall surely die. We are all dead in our trespasses, he says in Ephesians 2. Okay? We're dead people. Physically. We're sinners. And somebody has to pay that penalty for sin.
Right.
We're already dead, spiritually. Someone else has to pay that penalty. Jesus pays it. Here's the reality. Let's read it. There's now no condemnation. Somebody has to be condemned for the sin. The condemnation is death. Only one person, this is what we celebrate when we have communion. Jesus came and took your place. Okay? The condemnation, the penalty for sin was death. He died in your place. If we don't receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and receive his payment for our sin, then we have to pay that some point in our lives, at the end of our life. We will have to bear that consequence ourselves, and we will experience eternal death. Yes. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Very clear, the Bible says that. But for us who are in Christ, who've been recreated by the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. You don't have to worry about the penalty anymore. Satan cannot say to you anymore, you're a condemned sinner.
Right.
You're going to have to pay for that. You have to say to Satan, that's not what the Word of God says.
Right.
Okay? It's already paid for. My Lord, my Savior paid for it. That enabled me to be born again and filled with the life of the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, there's now no condemnation. No condemnation. Let's just go to Romans 5 real quick. Let me show you what that means. Because that's only one side. The payment side is Jesus took our place. If you go to Romans 5, verse 15 and following, it's so hard to pick and choose, but let me just show you verse 1. You know what? Maybe I'll just end up reading the whole thing. The word of God is more powerful than my words. Let's just say that. Having been justified, verse 1, we're justified by faith. We believe and we receive justification. We believe in the finished work of Christ. Based on that, justification is the transaction of being made right with God. We have peace with God. Number one, we have peace with God. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. There it is. When we come to Christ and we receive pardon for our sin, then we receive Holy Spirit. Okay? And it doesn't matter what you experience after that. He's saying whatever you go through doesn't matter. The moment you're born again, you're glory bound.
Yeah.
You're bound for heaven. Okay? We're all there. We're bound for glory.
Right.
And the moment we believe on Christ, Holy Spirit, who opened our heart to believe on Christ, comes and dwells in us. And he pours his love into our hearts. Friends, this is really important. Here's why it's important. The law is what? The law of God that Paul says he can't keep in chapter 7. It is love the your neighbor, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is that possible for someone who doesn't know Jesus?
No.
It's impossible. Is it possible to truly love anybody else, your neighbor as yourself? No, you don't even love yourself before you're born again, because all you see is the bad things you do. It's called guilt, okay? And condemnation, and sorrow, and which leads you to repentance. However, you cannot experience the love of God until the love of God comes in your heart through Holy Spirit, okay? It's a beautiful picture. We are by nature not good people. There has to be a heart transformation. Holy Spirit comes and he pours God's love into us. And then he says, verse 6, while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps the good man, someone might dare. And there might be someone who takes a bullet for a, you know, a good guy, but not a bad guy. But God demonstrates his love toward us. While we're sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
That's just so incredible. In the middle of my sin, Jesus is on the cross dying for me. When did he die? When was I saved? The Bible says from the foundation of the world. I was in God's heart way before I was born. Way before I was in my mom's thought. I was being saved by God. I was being made, and God knew what was going to happen to me when I came to Christ. That he was sending Jesus to the cross for me before I was even born. Verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is incredible truth. Not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been brought back into relationship with God.
Yeah.
So he says, just as an example, I was actually going to talk about condemnation. Verse 15, the free gift of grace, of forgiveness, is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, Adam, many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. All the sinners, all the sinful people are sinful because of the sin of Adam. We have that sin nature in us. It takes one person, not a dead goat or lamb or ox. It takes one perfect, spotless Son of God to come and die in our place. And he says this, that free gift is given to us, and that grace is offered to every single one who will receive it. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the one who had judgment arose from one transgression. Just one transgression. You shall not eat from that tree. Guess what they did? They ate from the tree. That's all they could do. That's who they were. They were sinners. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Okay? So he takes the condemnation. We receive the justification. That's right with God. Righteousness. We're declared righteous. Okay? That's the truth of the gospel. That's what Paul says in chapter 8. He explains it in chapter 6. But here's the thing. Here's what Holy Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Did you hear that, people? Freedom. Freedom, brother. Freedom. We have freedom in Christ. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from the penalty of sin. We are free. Satan cannot accuse you anymore. You will experience, when you sin, guilt. You will experience sorrow. You will experience, wow, I really blew it. But you will not experience condemnation. Okay? You got to remember that. Condemnation is already taken by Jesus Christ. Therefore, the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set you free from that penalty of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. This is very important. He condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? What do we sin with? Our flesh. It's condemned. It's over. It's done with. It's finished. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There, chapter or verse 4 is really important. The Spirit of God. This is point 2. First, there's no more condemnation on those who are in Christ Jesus. Number 2 is this. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Here's number 2, the great news about having Holy Spirit. Okay? Are you with me? We get a new mind.
Hallelujah.
We have the mind of Christ. Because Christ is living in us through the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to choose sin anymore. You have, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the living Christ inside you, you don't have to choose to sin anymore. You have the power to say no to sin, the temptation. You have the power to say, Satan, I know what you're up to. You're trying to lure me in, and I see the bait you've thrown me, and I'm choosing, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in my mind, I'm choosing by the will of God that's in me not to take that bait. Okay? The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. There's the contrast. If you continue, even after you come to Christ, to live to satisfy your flesh, your own desires, okay, your own mind and your own will, it produces death in you. Literally. But if you walk in the Spirit, you produce life and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Here, go to Galatians 5 real quick. You got it. You guys have that down. I know. We did those Bible studies ad nauseum, right? But why do people still continue to sin? I don't understand that. But let's go to Galatians 5 real quick, because it's all over the place. You know, Paul says in Ephesians and Colossians to put off the old and put on the new. Here we are in Galatians. He says this. He's talking about freedom in the Spirit. It was for freedom, verse 1, Galatians 5, 1, that Christ has set us free. Okay, we're free from that yoke of slavery, of trying to obey the law and trying to please God. Jesus pleased God. We're in Christ. We always please God. Without the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of holiness, we cannot please God. So you need to tell yourself this morning, is it still morning? I please God. Because I walk in the Spirit, Jesus
Amen.
Is in me.
Amen.
Okay? I have the righteousness of God. I don't live for myself anymore. I please God. When I wake up in the morning and I set my mind on Jesus and what He wants me to do, I please God. I have the power to do that. I never had that power before.
Right.
That's the Spirit of God in me. So, if you jump down to verse 5:16 in Galatians, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You're led by the Spirit. See? You're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Number one, you understand that you're no longer a condemned sinner.
Hallelujah.
Condemnation. Amen, brother. Condemnation is on Christ. You're free from condemnation. Number two, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Because Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to walk by the flesh anymore. You have the mind of Christ to make the right decision to walk in the Spirit. So you walk in the Spirit. There you go. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Here's an example. Paul says this in Ephesians, right? 5:19, I believe. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a very practical example. Before you were a Christian, you probably got drunk, like the rest of us. Maybe you didn't. But I got drunk. When I became a Christian, I did not get drunk anymore. Because there was an internal witness that, well, number one, I didn't even need this stuff anymore.
Right.
Number two, I had an internal voice telling me, don't even start, because if you start, you'll want another one, and then another one will take you into that place of drunkenness. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Holy Spirit is telling me, I have a new desire. My desire is not to satisfy my flesh and get drunk. My desire is to please the Holy Spirit who's living inside of me.
It's 5:18.
5:18. Ephesians 5:18. I was off by one. I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's this war going inside. That's what he describes in chapter 7. But he answers that by saying Jesus has already won the war. He's already set you free from that battle that even goes on inside. If you walk in the Spirit, if you live to satisfy your flesh, you will always be battling.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. That's the sad part. You see so many Christians, they do what they shouldn't do, and then they feel bad that they did what they shouldn't have done.
Right.
They wake up in the morning and it's like, I did it again. Why did I do that? Because you listen to your flesh and not to the voice
Amen.
Of God inside
yep.
you. We have the power to say no. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit's inside and we have the mind of Christ. And you know this very well. If you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. This is a remarkable thing. The Holy Spirit, if you read Jeremiah 31, if you read Ezekiel 36, you'll see that, actually it's in Hebrews 8 too, where the law of God is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We don't need to go back and keep going, what am I not allowed to do anymore? What am I not? No, you have this law on your heart. That Holy Spirit reminds you. It's so freeing. You know, you're walking down the street and maybe you feel like you should have your third hamburger, and the Holy Spirit says, man, don't do that.
No.
You're going to pay for it, right? Like, he will tell you all kinds of practical things. Like to stand on your kid's shoes and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All kinds of practical. It's an incredible, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that is available because of the work of Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what he's saying. So, let's go back to Romans. I could bounce all over these scriptures. Romans 8. That's where we are. That's where we're anchored. That's where we're rooted and branching out from. I try not to branch out too much. But so, the great reality. Number one, there's no condemnation. Number two, we have the mind of Christ. Verse 6, we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Because the mind, verse 7, Romans 8, 7, set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's nothing you can do in yourself to please God. The only time you please God is when you're walking in the Spirit.
Right?
What does he say in Hebrews? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay? Holy Spirit makes you holy. He's already made you holy. He's set you apart. He's put his law in your heart. And all you have to do is follow the Holy Spirit. You will please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you have the Spirit of God this morning? Okay, guess what? You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. That's a great reality. Okay? You're in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God and you never hear God speak to you, you never hear God say, don't go near that, don't touch that. You know what, Mike? That's not who you are. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't, you know, you're about to get angry. You should not speak right now, Mike. Okay? Just listen to the voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit inside you. He will guide you and stop you from sinning. If anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong. If Now, watch what he does here. This is so cool. I don't know about you, but I get excited. Let me just make sure I can see it. He says in verse 9, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then he says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And I talked about this 4 weeks ago. How do you know when someone's a Christian? They have the Spirit living inside. If Christ is in you, well, what are you talking about? I thought the Holy Spirit was inside you. No, Christ is in you. Jesus himself, that's why you have the mind of Christ, because he's in there. He's right there. He's right here. Jesus is here. I'm the temple of God.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. This truth is so incredible. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. God made you alive and declared you righteous. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which he does... It's just a statement. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life. Here's point number three. If you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God, you have life.
Yeah.
You're alive. You know, Ephesians 2 says you're dead. Paul says you're dead in your sins until Christ comes. Go to Romans 6. Friends, I encourage you, go home, read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. Chapter 8 is just a summary of Romans 5, 6, 7. That's what I believe. Romans 6 says this. Verse Well, he answers the question, should we sin because grace is so great and we can just, God's already condemned the sin in us, so why don't we just keep sinning? He says, absolutely not. Are we to continue to sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? There's the great truth. We died with him. Verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism and death, in order that was as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in what? Newness of life. The Spirit of God gives life. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. He's alive. He's alive. Where is he alive? He's alive in me. I've been recreated. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm made alive in Christ. I am alive. I'm alive. You've never been more alive than you are when you meet Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Until you meet Jesus, you're dead. I don't care what you accomplish and what you do and all the good things you do. It's all filthy rags until you meet Jesus.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. Okay? Beautiful stuff. That our old self, verse 6, was crucified with him that our body of sin might be done away with. There it is. Who was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago? I was in Christ. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Okay? We're free from sin. Read that often. We're freed from sin. Freed. I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. What's that expression?
Free, I'm free at last.
I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Hallelujah. I'm free. Hallelujah. The battle's over. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And we're in him and we have his life in us. He was the Son of his life, 1 John 5. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Friends, we are new creations. You got to tell yourself this. I'm alive. I'm fully alive in Christ. Okay, I'm not dead. And you know that when you walk and you see the world through different eyes, you experience creation differently. You experience life differently because you have Jesus, right? Is anybody? You're there. I see heads nod. Good. Remember that. Remember you're alive in Christ. It makes all the difference. When Satan is trying to get you with a spirit of death, tell Satan, I'm alive in Christ. I will never die. Says, I will never die. And Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. These books are just incredible. It's no longer I that live anyway, right? The life I live in Christ, who gave himself and died for me. Okay, I'm totally different. I'll never die. And this life, it's life. I never experienced, I did a lot of things before I came to Christ. That was all death. It just produced death. I'm alive in Jesus, hallelujah. I'm alive, I'm experiencing life, abundant life. Don't become a pastor, it's not great life. But follow Jesus. It's a great life. Okay? Don't focus on what you do for him. Focus on him in you. Okay? That's all I want to say because, listen, if you focus on the circumstances, it's not life. Paul says, I die daily. Even though I'm living in Christ, I'm dying daily. Okay? There is an experience in the Christian faith. When I say yes to Jesus, persecution is going to come. Stuff's going to come my way. The deeper you go in Christ and the deeper you're living loudly for him, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a guy yesterday who was in jail. He was describing, I think I brought it up, because I want to go to jail for Jesus, but what I hear happens is the first day in jail is not good. He told me about that first day in jail. He was praying to God to survive those hours. When they throw you into the pen with all the intakes who've just committed murder and every other thing under the sun, you're all in this cage together until you get processed. That's where people get killed. Okay? It's not fun to be in jail. And I started thinking about, you know, those pastors who were arrested back in the middle of COVID for having their church open? They were thrown in with criminals, like real hardened murderers and all that stuff. And I thought, I can't even imagine how that's life.
Right.
Okay? Sitting there afraid that somebody might just pummel you to death right now. We face that every day. But even in the midst, this, This is the beauty of Romans 5, that even in the midst of all these things that are happening to us, you know, we know that God's love is poured into my heart, that the Holy Spirit is inside there. Jesus is living on the inside of me, and I can persevere, that my character is being changed, and I can have hope in the midst of it all. Friends, it's totally different outlook on life. Life is not measured by your possessions or your money. Life is measured by who's living inside of you. Okay? Abundant life is found in Christ. So the Spirit gives life. And I could go much, much deeper than that. He says in verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to flesh to live according to flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you must die. But if Romans 5:13, by the Spirit, or sorry, by Romans 8:13, but if by the Spirit you're putting death the deeds of the body, you will live." Look at that. If you put to death the deeds of the body, if you stop living to satisfy your flesh, you will find life. All who are being led by the Spirit are the sons of God. This is number four. Number three, no condemnation. Or number one, no condemnation. The Spirit leads us into the reality that we are no longer condemned sinners. Number two, the Spirit leads us into the reality that we have the mind of Christ and can say no to sin. Okay? Number three, the Spirit leads us into real life, living for Jesus. And number four, the Spirit leads us into the reality that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Okay? This is, you know, each of these could be a sermon themselves, but I want you to think about this. Do you see yourself as a son or daughter? You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. We're no longer slaves, trying to obey the wretched master called the law. Okay? That's what Paul is describing in chapter 6. We have this set of rules, and if we live to obey the rules, it's death. It produces death in us. Okay? But if we live as sons, a son desires to please his dad. Okay? And God has given us the ability to please our Heavenly Father. Because it's no longer about a to-do list, it's about a relationship. I'm in relationship with a God who's living inside of me. And that's very freeing, friends. That's very freeing. You have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received. You've received it already. You receive a spirit of adoption. You're adopted into a new family. Okay? I know I've been saying this a lot, but we need to get that in our head. We're not of this world. Yes, we have great pain that our family has not come to Christ yet, but we're not part of this family ultimately, right? And Jesus said, actually, the members of your household will be your enemies one day. Like, if this world keeps going the way it's going, it's going to be very clear. Hopefully God has mercy on our household and saves our family members. But, you know, if all this was to wrap up now, and the Bible was to unfold the way, you know, if this was the day, the end, and people really didn't want to know Jesus, they would turn on us, and they're starting to turn on us. And God forbid that it should happen in our own homes. But it may just happen in our own homes where our own family members are enemies. Okay? And friends, we need to know that this is not our home. This place I live with these people, this is not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. I have a new father. I have new brothers and sisters. And Jesus Christ is my new brother. He's my big brother. And I have new brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're true sons. Listen, let me say this. Let me just break this lie that's out there. You're not a child of God until Holy Spirit awakens you, you come to Christ, and He makes you a child of God. Okay? You're a creature of God, just like any other creature, but you're not a child of God. Because He says very clearly in John chapter 1, verse 12, I think, that all who put their faith in Christ are children of God. Okay? And He says in 1 John 3, 1 that, slipping my mind, but 1 John 3, 1, that we are children of God because... Well, let me just look it up. I don't want to misquote it. It's funny, you quote it 1,000 times, and then when you need it, How great a love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Okay? Why are we children of God? That verse I just read, because the Father has lavished his love on us, is he's poured Holy Spirit into us. Okay? That's what makes us a child of God. Adoption is receiving the Spirit's renewal, awakening, life. Okay? You're not a child of God until that happens. You're a creature of God. Okay? And here's the explanation. Because nobody gets the benefits of being a child of God, which is receiving the inheritance, until they're part of the family. You don't give your inheritance to someone who's outside the family. You give your inheritance to someone who's part of the family. Are you with me? And that could even be point number 5, and I can go forever on these points, but let me just say this. It says, Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit bears with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit will tell you, you're a son, you're a daughter. That's the difference. Why doesn't that person understand what I know, what I'm going through, or what the Bible says? Because they don't have the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is talking to me about who I am in Christ, about my inheritance. It says, if we're children, then we're heirs. We have an inheritance that actually, Paul will say in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is the seal guaranteeing my inheritance. Because I have Holy Spirit, that's a guarantee that I'm going to enjoy all the riches of the kingdom when I get to heaven. Well, friends, this is so incredible. Like, I just want you to think about this stuff. There's no way I can do justice to these 4 points, but I want you to know these 4 points. Here they are real quick. Because being led by the Spirit is not about goosebumps and speaking in tongues. That's all wonderful fruit of being in the Spirit. But what I read here, and he says that, right, is where we're led by the Spirit. I think it's verse 14, which, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons. There's the evidence. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. Okay? That's where this whole sermon started from. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? And to prove that I am a son of God. Or a daughter of God. Number one. Here they are again. Number one leading of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into the reality of who Christ is and what he's done. Okay? That's the first 4 verses. Understanding the work of Christ, that there's no more condemnation, that we have received his righteousness instead of condemnation. Number two, the Spirit leading us into the revelation that we have the mind of Christ, that Christ is living inside of us, that we no longer live for our flesh, for ourselves, we live for Jesus to please him. And that's only possible because he's inside us. So that's the second thing the Spirit, Holy Spirit does, to lead us closer to Jesus and reveal Christ. Number three, that we are, I wrote, living to live. He's leading us into real living. What I want to show you in Galatians 5 is if you live by the flesh, you'll produce all these ugly, nasty things in verses 16 on. But then, which you all know so well, if you live in the Spirit, you will produce life-giving things. You'll produce life, right? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all. You will produce that. And when in all your relationships, Jesus will shine out of you. And they will say, Mom, there's something different about you. All my teachers and all my other friends' moms, they're miserable, grumpy people. But you, you're just a wacko. You got Jesus and you got joy and you got peace. And they're freaking out about everything. And you just like, you're just chilling in Jesus, right? We're different. It should be different having Jesus in us. Anyway, that's a good litmus test to see if you're letting the Holy Spirit lead. What's the fruit being produced? Number four, I wrote sonship. Spirit of God will lead you into understanding that you are a child of God. And that is so important these days because that's your new identity, okay? So much talk about identity these days. Your identity is not in your sexuality.
Right.
I don't care what sex you think you are or what sex you are when you look in the mirror. The reality is, that's not your identity anyway. Your identity is either in Christ or not in Christ. Okay? Your identity is, I am a child of God.
Amen.
That is the hugest thing. I think that's your whole message to these young girls, right?
Yes.
Preaching the identity of Christ. And so I want to encourage you. Yesterday with the men, we were studying John 14. And it says, Jesus starting to introduce the Holy Spirit, because he's saying, I'm leaving and I'm sending another helper. And he's the Spirit of truth. Okay? I want you to start thinking about these four truths in your life. Because these are the truths that people need to hear today. Okay? He also says, a little later, towards the end of chapter 14, that the Holy Spirit will take everything from me and reveal it to you. So all the teaching that Jesus has taught his disciples, they're a scared bunch. They don't even understand. They're not even born again yet. So they got to wait for Holy Spirit to come when they're awakened, and then Holy Spirit's going to bring back all this wonderful teaching that Jesus shared with them. That's the role of Holy Spirit in your life, to bring back all the teaching of this. He's to help you understand. If you don't understand when you read this, you need to say, Holy Spirit, either cause me to be born again or cause me to make you Lord. Because there's a disconnect. If I don't understand this, there's a disconnect between Holy Spirit and this word.
Yeah.
Because I understand this word only because of Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Okay? And so do you. You read this, and when you read this, your spirit goes, oh, like something's happening. Ooh, I'm getting excited. This is truth. This is who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Develop. It's a season. It's a time to go deep, to really get into the Holy Spirit and what he wants to say, and to really understand our faith and what we believe so that we can really communicate the gospel to other people. Okay? And I just encourage you and I bless you with that. Let's close up before it's...
perfect.
What time is it?
After.
Praise the Lord. That was only, 40 minutes? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to comment? You've all been very good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.
Good.
Hallelujah, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus in our lives, that he is living on the inside of us, and he's taken all of the penalty of sin, and he's given us his life. And now, Lord, because of you, we are children of God. In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you, Lord, that we have freedom in Christ. We thank you where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he's inside of us, and we are free and liberated, and we are on fire for Jesus. We are not going to let this darkness squash our light. We are fully alive in Christ, and we are going to make him shine, even if that means death or jail or whatever it is, Lord, because we have counted the cost, and the cost to having you is worth paying. Bring us to that point, Father, where we say, Jesus and Jesus, nothing else. You're everything. You're life to me. Holy Spirit, we want a new relationship, a deeper relationship with you, where we're so in communion with you, we hear your voice. We have the mind of Christ, and you just bring it to us as we're walking down the street. And it's just an amazing communion with the God of the universe living inside of us. Father, take us to that point. And open up the door for opportunities to share this glorious gospel of the kingdom with people. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for our family members that you're working on. We thank you for these testimonies, Lord, of salvation in our homes. Father, we experienced even with my aunt in her 70s, Lord, you're moving. You're moving. As we open our mouths and reveal Christ, Lord, you are moving. May you be glorified in our lives living for you. Go before us this week, Lord. Lead us into your perfect will. Lead us into life, real life. And keep us, Lord, from satisfying the flesh.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you for your goodness and mercy. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.